appreciative of the attendance that we have tonight. This is one of our better Sunday night attendances. We have some visitors, which are really not visitors. We get to see them all the time. And some others that we don't get to see often. We're certainly delighted that you were here. I want to say one thing, though, about Barry. The first time since I've been here, someone led a song that I had never even heard before. That first song, I don't think I had even heard that song before. And also, if you got your Gmail announcement, or when you get your Gmail announcement, I had confused Vicky's brother. So this is the oldest brother, and her next brother was the one that had the total heart transplant. So she's got two brothers with very, very serious heart problems. The brother that had the transplant, though, has his year anniversary, and he seems to be doing very well. So we're certainly happy about that. Let's begin with this question. Who is a friend? You know, I would imagine all of us have friends, but I doubt if we've ever really thought of it in that way. Who is our friend? David says, a friend is much like our family, Psalm 35. Solomon says that at times our friends are even closer than our family, Proverbs 18. In fact, according to Solomon, a friend loves us at all times. Proverbs 17, therefore the Bible says, do not forsake your friends. Psalm 27, verse 10. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I could actually just say that and extend the invitation, and we would have a wonderful sermon, not asking for a show of hands. But we're not going to do that. We're going to look at even more of what the Bible says about being a friend. So our first question, who is a friend? Our second question, who is a friend of God? Who is a friend of God? Well, according to David, God is close like family. In fact, according to Solomon, God is even closer than our family. And according to Solomon, God loves us at all times. Therefore, using those scriptures, Solomon reminds us we should never forsake God. I have 4 points in the lesson tonight. We're a friend of God when, first of all, we love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, Matthew 27. Now, we remember the incident where Jesus stated that. He was asked, what is the first and great commandment of the law? He did not hesitate. He said, it is love, loving God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and loving each other the same way. So who is a friend of God? One that loves God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Second, a friend of God is one who does what God wants us to do simply because God wants us to do it. You know, when our children are young, sometimes their favorite comment is, why? They will ask us if we will allow them to do something. We say no. Why? Well, as the parent, we really don't owe them an explanation, but sometimes we give it to them anyway. A friend of God just does what God wants us to do simply because he wants us to do that. I'll be reading from John 15, 14 in a moment. In fact, let me read it now. Jesus says, you are my friend if you do whatsoever I ask you. Number three, we're a friend of God if we tell other people about him. We alluded to the Great Commission this morning, Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24. We need to go into the world and tell them about our Father God. And I think by the time we look at even more verses, I think by the time we even make more comments, we will even better understand what it means and how important it is to be God's friend. And if we are not God's friend to the degree we want to be, I hope our scriptures and our words will motivate us to become even greater friends with God. This morning, after our morning service was almost over, I announced that we would be looking at Abraham. Abraham is the friend of God. So I'm sure a lot of you, even this afternoon, read that passage there in James chapter 2, but that's where we'll begin tonight. James 2, verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? See how faith wrought with his works. See how faith worked with his works. That doesn't sound quite right, but that's what it is. How it combined with his works, and by works his faith was made perfect, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and Abraham was called the friend of God. Now, in this context, James is talking about faith. He emphasizes the fact that a Christian's faith must be active. It must be alive. In fact, in the same context, toward the end, he reminds Christians that faith without works is not alive because it is dead. And then he explains to us how that God looked at Abraham's faithful, obedient life, and he counted it for righteousness. And because of his righteousness, Abraham, even today, 5,000 years later, is recognized as the friend of God. And brethren, what an epitaph that is. If justified, wouldn't it be wonderful if they put on our tombstone, "Here lies a friend of God"? What a beautiful thought that is. How can we be a friend of God today? Well, first of all, we can love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Now, when we think about physical friends, and I admit, I consider you my closest physical friends. When we think about physical friends, we think about how we're friends with each other, regardless of the circumstances, regardless. We don't look at other people's, we don't look at our friends' motive or their intention because they're our friends. In fact, I alluded to Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times. And sometimes we use the word unconditionally probably a little bit too easily. But the friendship that we have is an unconditional friendship. In other words, we love each other in the good times and in the bad times. Now let's apply that to our lesson. Do we love God, our friend, in the good times and in the bad times? I bet you're thinking differently than I am. I'm asking, do we love him only in the bad times? Do we call on him only when we have nowhere else to turn? One of my classic illustrations, by that I mean I use it as often as I possibly can, is about the little boy that was walking on the top of a barn. And he was walking very closely on the top of that barn. This side, the tractors were parked. This side was that mean bull inside the fence. So he's walking very carefully on the top of that barn, taunting the bull. And about that time, his foot slipped out from under him, and he starts sliding down the roof of that barn. And in desperation, he calls out, "God, save me." And just about that time, his britches catches on a nail head that's in the barn. When he realizes he stopped, he says, "Never mind." And then I think that seems to be the tendency of a lot of people, at least, that I know. God, if you will help me through this difficult time, if you will help me overcome these obstacles, if you'll get me out of this pit of despair or whatever the case may be. And then when he does that, it's almost like we say, "Never mind, I did it for myself." God has a warning for people like that. And I certainly not hope it does not apply to us. In Proverbs chapter 1 verse 25, and let me paraphrase. God says, if you don't listen to what I'm saying, if you don't heed my counsel, and especially if you don't listen to my warnings, when something goes wrong, don't come looking for me then, because I've already tried to help you in the past. Furthermore, true friends listen to each other. You know, all of us have the ability to talk. All of us have the ability to carry the conversation. All of us have the ability to dominate a conversation. A friend listens. A friend will give in to that. We listen. Proverbs 27 verse 17 is one of Keith's favorite passages. I want to read the King James, then I want to read the contemporary. I'm using the contemporary English version a lot lately. Don't worry, I'm not falling in love with it. But the King James says, just like iron sharpens iron, so the countenance of your friend sharpens each other. Something like that. The contemporary version, though, says, friends sharpen the thinking of each other. In other words, we help draw the right conclusions when we listen to our friends. Friends listen to friends. Friends plan times to be together. We do things together. Brethren, God speaks to us. We need to listen. The beginning of the Hebrew letter begins by saying, God at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us, how? By his Son. We need to listen to God. We need to listen to his Son, and his Son speaks to us through the Bible. In what I believe is the real Lord's Prayer, John chapter 17, where Jesus says, Father, the time has come, glorify your Son. Not only did he think about himself in that prayer, he also thought about his disciples. And he said, Father, I want them to be with me. That's what friends do. So the question of the lesson is, do we listen to God like friends listen to each other? Do we plan to spend time with God like friends spend with each other? Do we act like God is our friends? Now, I already alluded to this in our introduction, but we need to be friendly. If we want to have friends, we need to show ourselves friendly. And I remind you again of that verse because I want to give you a very unusual sounding question. Brethren, do you have a friendly relationship with God? I don't know if you've ever heard a preacher ask that. Do you have a friendly relationship with God, or is it strained? You know, even among friends, sometimes we can get cross with each other, and we always try to work it out. If our friendship is true, we will always work it out. Well, God has already shown us that he is our friend. He's already proven that he is our friend. I read even this morning, Romans 5, 8, and 9, God commended, he proved his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than to give his life for his friends, John 15, verse 30. God has shown us to be friendly. He's shown himself to be friendly. Are we friendly with God? Second, a friend of God does what God asks us to do just because he asks us to do it. You know, brethren, I have known individuals, I'm one of them, spend a lifetime with the Bible, still don't understand it all. In fact, probably misunderstand more than I do understand. But that does not mean I don't do what God wants me to do. Even if I can't explain some of these things, I still need to do what God wants me to do. Now, I've stated this so many times before. You know, true friends can just look at each other and realize that something's wrong. Maybe nothing's wrong. Maybe you're happy. We can just look at each other and say, something's good in your life, share it with me. Or the opposite. We know that something is wrong. Friends are there to help us even if we don't ask them. In fact, true friends will help us when we tell them we don't want their help. Again, we don't question motives. We don't question intentions. We just help. Now let me hasten to add that sometimes we might do something to strain a relationship. We need to take care of that. If it's a relationship among ourselves, if it's a relationship with God, we need to take care of it. So Abraham was called a friend of God. It was counted as righteous because of his faithful obedience, because of his faith. He acted on his faith. He was told to leave his homeland. He left. He was told that even in his old age he would sire a son. He accepted it. He was told then later to offer that son as a sacrifice, though he had already been told that through his lineage all nations of the world would be blessed. But he did it because he was God's friend. Let's read those verses. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should after receive as an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing where he went. Concerning fathering a child, Romans 4, verse 18, against hope, he believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. That was the promise, according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be, and being not weak in faith, he was strong in faith. He considered not his own body now dead. His body wasn't dead, but he was an old man, about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah, who was 90 years old. You know, that's pretty old to be having children, is it not? But he staggered not, because the promise was of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving God the glory, and being fully persuaded that what he had been promised, he was able to perform. And then when he was offering Isaac, and he would have offered Isaac, Hebrews 11, 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said that Isaac shall, thy seed shall be called, according that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Brethren, that sounds just like God giving Jesus to us, does it not? So is there any wonder why Abraham would be referred to as a friend of God? And that's the way God wants us to be. That's the way he wants us to relate to him, to do what he asks without question. Again, Jesus said, you are my friend if you do what I ask you to do. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And why are God's commandments not grievous? Because he's given them to us as a friend. So being a friend of God is not only something we should want, it's something that we need. We too need to be the friend of God. And finally, friends will tell others about God. We alluded to the Great Commission. We go into all the world, we tell others about God, and they can see what we're about, and God will receive the glory. You know, the best advertisement still and always has been the word of mouth. We like to tell good stories about each other. We need to tell good stories about God, and then we will be his friend. Thank you so much for your attention. I hope this will be a benefit to us in our life, that we will be and remain friends of God. The invitation song has been listed. If you need to come to the Lord in any for any reason, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?
I have decided.